Afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the latest Original Thinkers podcast here at Alliance Manchester Business School. I'm Jim Pendrell. I'm Research Communications Lead here at the school. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by, to my right here, Claire Binns, who is Senior Impact Manager at Sykes Holiday Cottages. Welcome, Claire. And also by Zara de Belder, who is recently graduated with a full-time MBA here at the school, and has also previously worked as a sustainability consultant. Well, welcome both. Claire, tell me a bit more about your role and what you do.
Yeah, so I work at Sykes Holiday Cottages. We're a leading independent holiday cottage rental agency. We represent over 22,500 cottages across the UK, Ireland, and also New Zealand, working with thousands of holiday let owners. And my role at Sykes as Senior Impact Manager is to lead on all of our social and environmental initiatives and also our B Corp certification journey, which I'm sure we're going to talk about a little bit more as we go along.
Thank you. And Zara?
Hi, Jim. Thanks very much for inviting me here today. It's great to be here as part of the Original Thinkers podcast and also joined with Claire. So I'm a sustainability professional. I work with companies, both private and listed, helping them on their sustainability strategy, reporting and disclosure, as well as stakeholder engagement. As you mentioned, I've just finished my MBA here at Alliance Manchester Business School, and I focused my MBA on sustainability topics as part of a traditional MBA. Outside of work, I'm a fellow at the Institute of Corporate Social Responsibility. I'm really passionate about supporting the next generation of sustainability professionals on their career journey.
Thank you both. Well, the broad title, if you like, for today's discussion is Business Transformation in Corporate Sustainability. Claire, you were touched straight away there on B Corp. Let's dive straight in. What is that, and what have Sykes been doing?
So B Corp is a certification that can be given to businesses that meet really high standards of social and environmental metrics. There's around about 6,500 in the world, so it's a global certification, and just over 1,200 in the UK. So we've joined quite an exclusive group of businesses. It's been a really intense and rigorous process. So B Corp looks at every single area of your business. There's five different pillars. So there's governance, there's workers, there's community, there's customers, and then there is environment as well. So you need to be doing well across all those areas of your business to be able to achieve certification. So yeah, we started working on this round about 2 years ago. So it's not a quick win. And we submitted our application in April last year, and we just recently found out a few weeks ago that we are B Corp certified. So we've joined this group of businesses, some that you would have heard of, the likes of Patagonia, The Body Shop, Grays, Sitsmith Gin, thinking about those kind of household products that you see around. But then it's across all sectors, so finance, legal, tourism, retail.
And the obvious question is why did you go a path of seeking this certification?
Around about 2 years ago, we realigned the whole purpose of the business. So as well as taking people away on holidays where they can have a wonderful time, we want to do that with having a positive social and environmental impact. There's lots of reasons around this. One, it's the right thing to do. There is a climate crisis. We need to do better so that we can operate in a more sustainable way. But also there's lots of commercial benefits to this as well for the business. So purpose-led businesses and B Corps have better staff retention and recruitment. They are more profitable, more appealing to customers. Things are changing. People want to spend their money with companies that they know not only deliver a great product, but do that in a sustainable and ethical way.
So are your customers actually actively looking, say when they're booking a holiday, looking at your website as well to see what you're about and that you have these credentials? I mean, because you might think booking a holiday cottage, you just book a holiday cottage, you just click on it and you book it. you wouldn't tend to look at the, or you know, the actual the company itself and this. But you're saying that people do?
Yeah, sure. There's lots of research out there, and we worked with Zara on a project, an internal project around sustainable transport. And yeah, the facts are out there that more and more people are looking for that. You can see search terms in Google and on our website that people want to, you know, they're looking for eco properties, properties that will minimize the impact that they have when they're away. We're also seeing that, and this may be partly cost driven as well, that people aren't traveling quite as far for their holidays as well, because they want to reduce the impact that they're having with their travel. So yeah, there's definitely, I think there's more change to come. It's only going in one direction
though. And you mentioned then why you felt the need to spell out what your purpose is, because you might seem a little odd in some respects, you need to do that, but you said you needed to spell it out because you want people to know, you know, exactly what you stand for.
Absolutely, and that's both internally as well. You know, we're going through a period of change, embedding the new purpose and the whole impact pillar that we have that sort of runs across the business. We have some really ambitious goals around reducing our carbon and working with biodiversity projects, as well as staff volunteering initiatives and enabling disadvantaged families to go on holiday. So, and we do need to spell it out to people, because it's a shift. We've done lots of different activities like this in the 30 years that we've been in business, but I suppose we're getting really serious about it now. And all of our staff have written into that, have impact related OKRs. Objective and key responsibility. So it's part of what they need to do to fulfill their role, is to engage with impact in some way, because it's not something you can't tell people that they need to change. You've got to look at what the motivations there are behind that. And people are motivated by different things. It might be that they are environmentally motivated, they might be cost motivated, they might be motivated because they know that they're going to have better business results that come out at the end of it. So that's one of our main challenges, and sort of the work that Zara did for us as well helped us to understand a bit more about the motivations of our staff. So we've focused internally on our teams in this first period, but we'll be building out to help to inspire more of our customers and the owners that we work with as well, to reduce their impact and sort of change the way that they run their holiday let or holiday.
We'll come on to specific measures a little bit later, but Zara, just tell us a bit more about the work you've done with Claire touched on there.
So I am supported Claire and the wide impact team at Sykes on a project around their internal sustainable transport strategy, and I think that was a really interesting piece, as Claire alluded to, around motivations and behavior change, which is something that, you know, I'm personally very interested in, that relationship between behavior change, strategy development and business transformation. And I think just picking up a bit more what Claire was saying is that it's really about baking this mindset of transformation within a business. And we're seeing a lot of challenge to, you know, traditional ways of doing business. And that's driven by, you know, investor interest, public awareness, employee engagement, and ultimately there's this real urgency and need for change, which is really exciting. But I think for me, you know, looking back on my career and my experience, I think it's really about understanding strategically where you are and understanding your material impact as a business, whether that's your risks or opportunities, because then you're better equipped to actually understand a bit more around the situation that you're in, where you are in your sustainability journey. And then you can work with your internal and external stakeholders to collectively unpick the how and then communicate the why. And that's, I think, a really important part of going on this business transformation journey.
Mm-hmm. And talk about the how there, what I'm interested in, Claire, before, was the particular things that you're doing, or what are sort of metrics you look at? So you've obviously, carbon is the obvious one, but you touched on other things. Just briefly, what are the sort of key areas you're looking at when it comes to actually, okay, be very clear what your purpose is, but what are the actual things on the ground that you're actually wanting to deliver to so you live up to your B Corp.
Yeah, sure. So on the environmental and sustainable side of our measures that we're looking at, it is about reducing our carbon footprint. We've done our first couple of carbon footprint measurements. That's been a big learning curve for us in understanding what data that we've got available in the first place. We've got a lot of work to do to improve the data that we can get that feeds into that. And then seeing, you know, how our footprint is made up. It's all, we also report on this on our impact report. So if anyone's interested, they can take a look at that on our website. And we've seen that transport is a big, big chunk. Travel and transport is a big chunk of our carbon footprint, which is one of the reasons we chose to bring Zara in to help help us to understand that a little bit.
So my obvious question, why is that?
So most businesses find that is a large proportion of their carbon footprint. So it's business travel, but it's also the commute. So we've got over 1,000 staff working in 25 different locations across the UK, particularly our more rural locations where staff have to travel further to work. Mm-hmm. So it's all around that. It tends to be mainly people using their own cars as well, because there aren't great public transport routes. So
so something like that. What can you do about that?
Because
it's a rural area, say middle of I don't know Yorkshire Dales, a long way from a rail station. How can you?
We don't know exactly how we're going to tackle that at present. We do have some really interesting options that came out of the project that we worked on. One really brilliant thing to do would be to get our staff to lift share. We're finding that people aren't that responsive to that at the moment. There are some that do it, but people want they're used to the convenience of being able to just do what they want and not have to maybe consider other people. That is a challenge for us. We are looking at how we can tackle our business travel, which we feel we've got more influence over. Looking at making that more sustainable and being able to more accurately measure the sort of carbon emissions of our travel.
What about the actual cottages themselves? So I guess a lot of them will be very old, and so they'll have very old heating systems.
They are indeed, yeah.
And probably be quite not, as they're old buildings, won't be particularly energy efficient.
Definitely. So we've got a huge, whilst they don't sit within our own carbon footprint because we don't own them, we obviously have a responsibility as a purpose-led business to support our owners to make those changes to become more sustainable. So we're building out sort of content for them on our website and in our owner portal, which will help them to look at changes that they can make, whether that's with the types of light bulbs they're using, messaging to their guests around not keeping the heating on overnight, but using messaging like it's actually better for your health to sleep at a lower temperature. Mm-hmm. So rather than saying, oh, we need to save the planet, which let's face it, we've been saying that for decades, people haven't necessarily responded to it. It's using other motivations for them to get them to change their behaviours there.
And sometimes it's the small things that collectively add up.
They can make a big difference, and things like our owners communicating better with their cleaners. So if they don't have another guest coming in straight away, if you've got a hot tub, don't leave the hot tub on, which sounds really obvious, but it's not always one of the things that people think about. We also work with lots of different suppliers that we recommend to our owners. So we've been bringing on board more suppliers that maybe can supply more environmentally friendly cleaning products, EV charging point installation companies. We're working with a business that can actually go and do a whole audit of your holiday let. To advise you on what's the best way to make it more sustainable. Do you put a small wind turbine in? Do you install solar panels? Do you put in a heat pump or underfloor heating? Mm-hmm. There's lots of questions. We've got owners that really want to make those changes already, and we want to be able to help them to do that. And then others that maybe aren't thinking about it, we want to kind of inspire and influence them to start thinking about it and show them that we can help them on that journey.
So what's coming through here, I'll come to you in a second. What's coming through here is the B Corp certification has helped you perhaps identify yourselves. What are the areas you need to be thinking about
absolutely,
as a company?
Absolutely, yeah.
Which you may not have thought about necessarily before.
Yeah, so the B Corp assessment is a framework of 200 questions. And it's a really good tool to put your business under the microscope and see where you are doing good, where you're doing not so good. And then you can identify the areas that you might want to start working on. You know, if you don't have the resources available to do like a full materiality assessment, then that framework is a really good starting point to see where you're at. Yeah.
Sorry, I
was just listening to Claire, and I think one of the things that really struck me is this understanding of behavior change and how that fits into business transformation, sustainability, strategy development. And I'm not a behavior change expert. I think for me, I'm really personally very interested in. I think there's been a lot of research that shows how important behavior change and theory of change is to actually driving long-term meaningful outcomes for businesses. But I think Sykes is a really good example also of a private business, you know, private equity owned business that is, you know, adopting a more purpose driven, impact orientated business model. And we're seeing a lot more of those types of businesses from a private equity ownership. And I think for me, the private equity space and private capital as a whole is a really powerful driver of change. If you look at, and there's been some really interesting research that was commissioned by the British Private Equity and Venture Capital Association. And that research found that in 2023, there are 2.2 million workers employed in the UK from private equity or venture capital owned businesses. And they have directly generated £137 billion in GDP. And I think there's so much more interest and motivation, energy within that private capital ecosystem for sustainability topics and for adopting these more responsible businesses. Last month, we had the Venture Climate Alliance, which is an initiative backed by 23 venture capital firms across the US and Europe. And I think that's a really great initiative that's really helping to lead that private capital ecosystem into the world of sustainability. So that's a really exciting development, and it's great to see other businesses like Sykes adopting that model.
I mean, private equity has embraced ESG and this agenda very much recent years, and in fact now investors are demanding it, aren't they, really, of businesses.
Absolutely.
And that's a huge sort of change in recent years that we've seen, and I guess as a private equity owned business, you've responded to that.
We have, yeah. And there's another lobbying initiative arm of B Corp called the Better Business Act, which you may or may not have heard about. Hopefully you have. And that's all about making a change in the law that makes directors responsible for impact on people on the planet as well as shareholder profit. So, you know, if we get that, we've changed the articles of our business already as being a B Corp, so that is the case within Sykes. So I think, you know, we see more legislation coming in around sustainability, around equality, and you know, I'm just really pleased to work for a forward-thinking business that is seeing the need to make these changes, and you know, our investors can see, you know, the need to do it, but also the commercial benefits too.
Something we're going to talk about, we've kind of touched on already, really, is the tactics you use to achieve change. I mean, Zara, the work you've done, the research you've done, what sort of typically are the kinds of tactics, want a better word, you need to be employing?
I think first of all, it's really important that you take a step back and actually understand your business context. Like, it's great to look at your sector, it's great to look at your competitors, but being really clear around where you are as a business. There is no one size fits all. So there is a degree of agility required. I think secondly, change, it takes a long time and you have to be patient, particularly when it comes to things like behavior change, which, you know, Claire has spoken about. You're really looking at the intentions, the behaviors, the motivations of what can be a very diverse group of stakeholders. and being in a position where you can encourage them to change and for the long term, that's something that's not going to happen overnight. So it really requires a mixture of patience, but also a clear understanding of where you are currently and where you want to go. And that's why things like communication, like I mentioned about the messaging, that's really key, because that helps you actually achieve your strategic buy-in. It helps raise awareness, and it really creates this culture that impact and a more purposeful, responsible business is the direction of travel that organization and that leadership wants to go.
Mm. I take it you concur with that.
Definitely. Yeah. Certainly there is no one size fits all, and it takes time. Takes time to create change.
I mean, you've been around 2 years, haven't you? You're saying
it's about consistent and frequent communication. We've run a range of different ways that people can engage with us. So we bring in guest speakers from charities and different organisations to talk about carbon literacy or volunteering and equality. Then we have our, kind of traditional internal comms, newsletters. We use Teams a lot. So we've got a channel on there where we put out messaging and tips. We have our internal floor briefs. And we really find that getting to our heads of departments and senior leadership team and getting their buy-in is a really effective way of bringing the rest of the team along. Mm. And at sites, we're very fortunate that our board and our exec team, they really do lead from the top. I know that they've been out there doing their volunteering days recently. And they always talk about impact and B Corp and what we're trying to do, so that people do understand that it is just as important to us as hitting our sales targets.
Mm, mm. That's absolutely the key, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, we're sat in a university today. Be remiss not to talk about education and the role it plays in this wider debate we're having. Zara, perhaps one for you. How important is education in terms of engaging with suppliers, stakeholders, workforce, etc. in these, when we're talking about defining a purpose of a business, and but also having these specific sort of metrics to tackle?
It's obviously key. I think that education in its broader sense, it's really important in terms of raising awareness, getting that buy-in, creating this culture of transparency. I think we're seeing some really interesting collaboration both between organizations and education providers, but also bringing in the expertise from not-for-profits. Companies are now rolling out dedicated sustainability programs, whether that's as part of their onboarding process or as part of a formal professional development program. But I think ultimately, if you're able to ensure that your workforce as a whole is motivated, has the resources for learning, that then helps really more informed employees, more informed stakeholders who can ask the tough questions, who can probe the different perspectives, and really be in a better position to take essentially the bold and disruptive action that we need in order to achieve a more equitable, sustainable, and inclusive future. So I think there's a lot to be said about having a really strong culture of education and learning within an organisation.
I mean, you touched on there a very, very relevant issue today's world, training, and a lot of people say that the lack of training is one of the reasons for our poor productivity in the UK. We don't train the people. But in the context of this debate, I mean, training is really important. So I'm sure, Claire, you've got a whole swathe of different things that you do to train your, briefly, what sort of things do you do when it comes to training your staff?
So we have a lot of different training initiatives in place, and in terms of impact and sustainability and that change for the business, it's about including that from day one. So even in our recruitment process and then our onboarding and our inductions, the impact pillar is talked about, our goals and our missions and the different activities that we've got to enable us to get there. And then we hold regular training sessions, whether that's just a sort of information give us giving an update to people, or where they can more actively get involved. So we've actually just this week launched a carbon literacy app called Geeky Pro, another B Corp. And that's about enabling staff to understand more about their personal carbon footprint and the steps that they can do to reduce their impact. And the theory is that will help them understand it more. And then they'll, when they're at work, then they will understand, you know, how the differences that they can make and changes to the way that, that they work as well. So it's small things, and it's gradual and it's steady. We'd like to go faster, but when you're trying to change people's mindsets and maybe introduce them to things that they not engaged with before, you need to sort of have that gradual introduction to people. You can't just go in and completely change the way you do business overnight.
It's back to behavior, isn't it?
we started. I was just thinking also from a value creation perspective, those better informed employees, they're able to drive that organizational change. They're able to help with that strategic buy-in, but they're also able to act as sustainability ambassadors themselves, whether it's in their own life or in the workplace. So I mean, there are real multiple benefits from that indirect and direct education, and that can come from a variety of different resources, apps to online platforms to guest speakers.
Yeah, I was going to actually say that the channels which you're using, I'm sure ever more embracing technological channels as well, digital channels. I mean, tell us a bit about that, because I'm sure there's a lot going on there.
We work with an organisation, we're a founding member actually of an organisation called UK for Good, and that's a network of businesses across the UK who are purpose-driven. And that is a really great platform. It's an online meeting once a month, which I nearly always attend, but you know, I invite people from across the business to come and attend. There's guest speakers, there's virtual breakout rooms where you can talk about the challenges that you might be facing, and it's really good to sort of understand different challenges that people are facing, and sometimes also to know that it's not just you that's dealing with that, because you know, it's just good to know that there's other people that are dealing with the same things.
I was wondering, you know, given the very fast changing nature of work and in the wake of the pandemic, you know, and the more use of online resources and channels and chat channels, it sounds like this is actually for you as a business, it's been a big benefit, because you're actually interacting far more with your staff. Is that right? I mean,
in a way, I think so. Yes, although I think it still is really important to actually get together face to face as well. But it does almost make things more accessible. You don't have to travel
an hour
on the train to go to a training course.
You
don't have that extra time to consider, because you can just log on and the technology is. I know a lot of people don't always like the whole breakout room thing on virtual sessions, but actually they're some of the most beneficial ones that I attend, when you do have that opportunity to, you know, there might be like 30, 40 people on an online webinar, but a breakout room with just half a dozen people, and you can have some really meaningful conversations, and I always find those really interesting. And I think I probably attend more seminars now than I did pre-COVID, because it is so easy to do and to slot into your day.
Well, I was just going to ask, shifting slightly, Zara, you're the MBA, you just finished here, as we mentioned at the beginning, and how that's helped you actually as well in terms of you know, your own career and talking to companies like Sykes about the work, you know, that you've done and, you know, advising. Just tell us a bit about that, because it's quite interesting.
Yeah, I think it's been a really interesting experience for me, because I've had that fundamental traditional MBA, but with the added layer of a sustainability twist, what I like to call it. And I think it's really beneficial when you look at new regulation, new reporting standards like TCFD, which focuses around strategy in the context of climate risk and disclosure. So I think for me, I've been able to explore your traditional components of an MBA, whether it's from marketing through to supply chain operations, and have that foundation, but then I'm able to overlay it with that sustainability element. And I think that that's really helpful, particularly when it comes to business transformation. When you're talking to clients about climate transition plans, you're able to have, I think, a much more holistic and rounded context for which many businesses are operating in. And the University of Manchester has got really strong sustainability credentials. It was one of the reasons why I chose this business school. So it's nice to be part of a community that really embraces sustainability and works with lots of different organisations in and around Manchester to make sure that students have a really enriched MBA programme, but also more broadly within different courses, and that there is a real understanding of how sustainability can be applied and integrated within a modern business context.
I'm just thinking before, you know, the challenges of sustainability. We talked a lot about the amazing things that your business is already doing, but this is hard work, you know, the sustainability agenda is not an easy one. But I'm also thinking, okay, we're the immediate crisis of COVID's over, but there's now a cost of living crisis. There's plenty of other, there's inflation that's still at 10%, so there's lots of other challenges for every business in the country. I mean, you know, so how do businesses ensure this stays very high on the boardroom agenda?
Yeah, we have a saying in our team, doing good is hard. It's hard work. We are, as I said before, we are very fortunate that this agenda really is driven from the top down. And it's really important. There is a cost of living crisis. It's you know, challenging times for lots of businesses. But impact and the activity that we're doing is still really at the top of the agenda for us. I don't know, maybe I'm just lucky, or that I work for an organisation like that. But I think once you decide to really authentically change your business in this way, you kind of get a bug for it. You know, it makes you feel good. It really does. And to know that you're making that difference, and it is really important that large businesses like ours do this and sort of lead the way, really. And show that it is possible. You can make a profit and you can make a positive impact at the same time.
Because for smaller businesses, they may just think, they may just say, oh,
it's too hard. Got time for that. Yeah.
It's too hard. I don't want to sort of, Sorry.
Yeah, I think there are a couple of things from a more macro perspective when you're operating in sustainability. The last couple of years, things have changed dramatically, particularly from a regulatory and legislative perspective. Even since I started doing the MBA, things have really moved on. Back in 2019, we had the Business Roundtable statement, and that focused more on a stakeholder first perspective, and that was seen as a landmark shift. And now we've got this new wave of regulation coming down the line, whether it's the CSRD coming from the European Union.
Sure, that's the, what's that, John?
The Corporate Social Responsibility Directive.
Thank you.
you've got the climate rule coming out from the SEC. There's so much happening in this space. And I think a lot of organisations who are being affected by these new changes, they are scrambling to reorganise, making sure that they have the right data, they have the right teams. And that really has really shifted the dial quite a lot for a lot of organisations. But I think when you're operating in this space as a sustainability practitioner, you are faced with lots of challenges. The topics that you encounter, they're complex, they're interconnected, and I think it can be quite a difficult space to work in as an individual, because you are faced on a daily basis with different challenges, different competing priorities, and that can be quite emotionally draining, can be quite challenging. And that's part of the reason why I do things like the mentoring program with the Institute of Corporate Social Responsibility, because I think it's important to have these forums and resources for sustainability practitioners to turn to. Claire talked about, you know, being able to speak to other people in the space and learn from them, and I think that's really key, because when you're able to have that diversity of thought, gain a different perspective, learn a tip or two along the way, that helps you as an individual who is responsible for driving this change within an organisation. But I think as a space, it's a really fascinating area to work in, and it can be extremely rewarding. I think that's why, you know, a lot of people are are really turning to these types of roles within their organization or looking to work for companies that endorse this value.
Yeah. And do you think, I mean, very broad, do you think the pandemic has heightened further these sort of debates and conversations within businesses, you know, in terms of how a lot of companies have changed the way they work, haven't they? Has it made a lot of companies sort of stand back and think,
I think it has. I think there's also other factors like the regulation coming down the line. That's obviously important. We've got demands from talent. There's the competitive advantage around being seen as a more sustainable business. And I think it's increasingly becoming just part of business as usual, which I think is a really great direction. There's obviously a lot of work still to be done. But I think, you know, if I look back over the last couple of years, we've made some really important steps, and I can only hope, and I suspect they will continue in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps as a final point, Claire, would be how you're kind of measure success of what you're doing. Probably unfair question to ask you, but broadly, how will you measure the success of it?
It will be achieving our core impact objectives, you know, working with those biodiversity projects, seeing our carbon emissions start to reduce, seeing staff volunteering days increase. We also measure staff engagement through our staff surveys, and we talk to new recruits about, you know, how they view the business. So we're always measuring those kind of metrics. And then part of B Corp is you need to recertify every 3 years. You need to show that you've not only maintained what you're doing, you need to show that you've improved. So it's
the pressure's on.
It's showing that improvement.
Yeah.
And like we've said, these are making improvements that these are making improvements that would involve sort of fundamental changes in the business. So we need to start making those changes now so that we can show that improvement in 3 years' time and increase our B Corp score.
Okay. It's probably on that note, probably a busy note to finish. Thank you both, Claire and Zara, for joining us today. It's been a fascinating half an hour or so, and every success for your continued work on this area.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.